Now I'm on. Ooh, hello. Don't look down and talk that much. That's much louder. Okay. Right. Hello. Hello. okay. So, this is the first time it's happened to me that I've prepared a talk, and it's come into three neat little sections. So I must be getting, you know, some sort of blessing now. I've been working at it for long enough. Normally the structure of the talk is the thing that always comes last to me. You know, you think about issues and you have lots of thoughts over a long period of time, and I'm like, is there an order here? You know, I was asked to talk on Isaiah 11 about righteousness. I'm going to tell you my three headlines, because I have three headlines, and I'm so pleased. What is the kingdom of righteousness like? We're going to talk about working for the kingdom of righteousness, and how do we get righteous? Okay, so in Isaiah, this is like a prophecy, and it's a picture of the kingdom, of what the kingdom will be like. The kingdom of heaven. So, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a branch bearing fruit from the old root. So that's Jesus, right? There's nothing up there. I don't have any overheads, I'm afraid. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. He's wearing the pants of truth. And in that day, the wolf and the lamb will lie down together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion. The little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in the nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. Or another translation puts that, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, which I love. I love that. It's very exciting. And then also in Isaiah, and Jesus quotes this, Jesus reads this bit in Luke, in the synagogue. He stands up and reads it, and then he says, and today this has been fulfilled in your presence. So this is, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim captives to be released, and the prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favour has come. So the kingdom, these pictures are pictures of peace, of safety, of healing, of, those are the things, aren't they? Those sorts of things, all good stuff. No pain, no more mourning, no more crying, and all that sort of thing. It's a really good thing. And when I was thinking about righteousness, what I normally think about righteousness is wanting to be righteous. You know, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom and righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you. So we need to seek righteousness. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me talk a bit more about this. The kingdom, we know, is both now and not yet. And this is sort of the overwhelming theme of these four talks that we've done, that it's now and not yet. And so we do see signs of the kingdom coming through. Obviously some of those things are miracles, which is wonderful, but some of those things are just earthly people working for good stuff, working for peace, working for health and education, and working to reduce domestic violence and all sorts of other crimes, you know, and working to reduce poverty. So in the last 30 years, no, let me reset, sorry, 10 years ago, Donna Murray helped, she was on a committee that helped organise a really good series of Lent lectures that were in St Andrew's Church. I know it was 10 years ago because I was 30 then and I'm 40 now. And one of the chaps, he was from, I think, Oxfam or Christian Aid, one of those. And he said, who here is 30? You know, I said, oh, I am. And he said, in your lifetime, extreme poverty has already been halved. And I was like, oh, wow, really? That's amazing. Through development and this sort of thing. And I, around that time, I learned a bit more about development. And I'd always thought development was kind of a bad thing because I like being in nature. And I had this kind of romanticized view of hunter-gatherer societies, you know, and that sort of thing. But actually, that's really false. If we have development, then we have clean water and we have better tools to help us farming, you know, and we have roads that will get us to hospital quickly enough to get treated when we need it, you know, whatever that is. So development's a really good thing. And we're seeing that happen again. I mean, already, and it's continuing to happen, and things are improving if you look in the right places. And the media doesn't tell us these things most of the time because, you know, bad news sells, doesn't it? And lots of progress is being made. Medical developments, you know, 100 years ago, it was only about 100 years ago that penicillin was discovered. And a scratch could result in death, you know, or anything, all sorts of things. I bet most of us, you know, half of us probably wouldn't still be alive at this point, would we, if we hadn't had penicillin in our lives. And all, you know, that's just one thing. In the last 100 years, we've had a huge amount of development in medical things. Certainly Meg wouldn't have been alive when she was born. Probably about both of your daughters wouldn't be as well. So, you know, the care of neonates has massively improved, even just since the 50s. So, yeah, all those sorts of things. And improvements in justice and social justice as well. Obviously, different parts of the world are progressing at different rates. But, you know, in terms of equality and diversity and the culture around accepting people, it's actually now become unacceptable to be unaccepting of people, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? So loads of things are improving. And I think these are the sorts of things that we should be working towards as we're bringing the kingdom in as well. Not just, well, obviously also telling people about Jesus. That's a given. I'm going to talk about that a bit more in a minute. But it's not enough yet. Because we're in this now and not yet phase still. We're in the middle somewhere. When I was at university, my parents and sister came to visit me and we went to the cinema. You might have heard this joke before, well, story anyway, that we went to see Chicken Run, and I love that kind of humour. And I just love Chicken Run, it's brilliant. In the morning, there's a sort of cockerel, and the sun's coming up, right at the beginning this is, and you expect him to go, ah, 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 you know, and he goes, cock-a-doodle-doo! And that got me started, and I just laughed out loud the whole way through this thing. And it was full of slapstick and silly puns, and I just was laughing the whole time out loud. And there's one sad bit, sort of a quiet, reflective bit, where the cockerel and Ginger are sitting up on the roof, and he's saying, what's your problem anyway? It can't be that hard to get a couple of chickens out. And she says, no, it's not that hard to get one or two chickens out. That's not the point. I want to get all of the chickens out. And God has that heart. Oh, in the cinema, though, it was just after a whole sequence of them trying to fly by various means and falling, and I was still going, you know, trying not to laugh out loud anymore when they were doing that bit in the cinema. But the point is, we want to get all the chickens out. We want to see an end to all the suffering. We want to see the fulfillment of the kingdom. And so ever since I think I did GCSE, RE, we learned about the signs of the kingdom. You know, people being free and people being without hunger and being healed and I can't remember any of the others right now. So ever since I've realised those are the signs of the kingdom, whenever we now pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, that encompasses so much, you know. And sometimes we talk about holding people in the light when we don't know what to pray for them. Sometimes I just pray, your kingdom come, yeah, in this situation. And that's part of bringing the kingdom in as well, is to pray the kingdom in. Okay, so let's talk about work. I've had a headache for the last 4 weeks, solid, even at night and waking up and this sort of thing. Turns out I need new glasses. I went, yeah, on Friday night, I got them. Okay, yeah, that's why. Okay. It started with a cold. I thought it was just the cold leaving, you know, so for a couple of weeks, and then eventually went and got my eyes checked. Okay, I need new glasses. But so I've had a headache for 4 weeks. Everything is hard work when you've got a headache, isn't it? You know? It's just, oh, I've got to do something else. Right, what's next? You know, like plodding through life, like, I've got a headache. And I'm thinking about the kingdom and righteousness and thinking, it just all feels like a lot of hard work. And reading this bit in Isaiah 11, and it's talking about all the, you know, everything's safe, everyone's happy, because the earth is filled with the knowledge of the Lord, or filled with people who know the Lord. And I was thinking, yeah, it'd be a lot easier to be righteous if everyone else was pulling their weight as well. Am I the only one who's ever felt that way? You know what I mean? There's so much suffering in the world. And particularly, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to just not watch the news because it's bringing me down. And I'm not bringing it to the Lord anymore. I'm just getting bogged under it, down under it, you know. And you think, you know, if these people who make wars would just stop it, then all these people wouldn't have these problems. They wouldn't be displaced. They would have their homes still. There was nothing wrong with their homes, you know, until you bombed them. They would have their food because their fields, they would be able to harvest their fields and, you know, all those sorts of things. And, so much in the news about sexual violence, particularly around young people and abusing each other in relationships and I'm doing a load of work on that at work about now we're asking everyone, particularly because of I do women's health and I'm in a nice solid room with a door that locks, not a flappy curtain, asking everyone, because it's so common, have you ever been a victim of domestic abuse or sexual assault? And it's incredibly common. So far nobody's said yes as I've asked that question, but at least every 6 weeks, somebody will disclose that they have that sort of history to me. I've been getting, the last year or so, I've been getting into thinking, so if it's a third of women who've had these experiences, what's the proportion of men that are doing it? You know, what goes on? And then I'm thinking, you know, what's going on in their head? And anyway, just eventually getting cross. How can they think that that's acceptable? How do they excuse it to themselves? How do they sleep at night? You know, and all that. And it reminds me of the Psalms where David says, "Away from me, you bloodthirsty and evil people!" You know, just I wish that God would come and destroy them. And talks here about God, the wicked being destroyed. So there's just so much need and so much work. And when you're getting into this, oh, I've got to do all this work sort of place, there's lots of bits in the Bible that make it feel heavier as well. Like, you know, there's the sheep and the goats. You need to feed all the hungry people. That's not actually what Jesus says, is it? You don't need to feed all the hungry people and clothe all the people who don't have clothes and visit all the prisoners. He says, whenever you do that, you do it for me. So that's one of the things. So with the Pharisees making the law really detailed and complicated and making it almost impossible for anyone to cover, we can do that for ourselves sometimes. We can do that for ourselves sometimes, and I know I do, because you misread the Bible, if you're like me. It says you have to feed all the hungry people and you have to clothe all the people who don't have clothes. And that's not actually what Jesus says. He says, but whenever you do this for one person, you're doing it for me. Then I got thinking about, what Jesus says as well. He says, come to me, all those who are weary and heavy laden by religion, and I will give you peace. And he was talking to those people who've had all these rules and they've had all these things to do. And he's saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, work is important. Actually, it's quite good for us. I don't know if you found this, like over lockdown, just not being able to do much else. I was really pleased on the days I could go to work that I was going to work, so I was going to see people. That's me being, I think even introverts felt that way sometimes. Yes, I've got some introverts nodding at me. And work is good for us. The occupational therapists have a thing they call meaningful activity, which is essentially a work that you do that makes you, that you feel you get something out of. I think, let me try and put these things together and make it make sense. In the Garden of Eden, there was work. But it wasn't difficult yet, because it was after Adam and Eve sinned, and God cursed them and threw them out of the garden. He said, now work is going to be difficult. To make enough food, you're going to have to work hard and sweat and all that sort of thing. Work is going to be difficult. So I think work has always been part of God's plan, in terms of, you know, doing all these things to make people feel safe, to make people actually be safe, to feed people, to clothe people, to care for people. But I think when the kingdom comes in its fullness, just as it was at the Garden of Eden, the work won't be so hard. Yeah? It'll be good, and it'll be, So, we're going to seek first the kingdom of God as righteousness. It won't be so hard. And it won't be so hard because we're going to do it together. So, this came to me quite late, this phrase, we might do something together. In The Lord of the Rings, hands up if you've seen or read The Lord of the Rings. Yes, at least half. Okay, good. There's Treebeard. So for the rest of you, Treebeard is an Ent. And Ents are tree herders, like shepherds for trees. But they look a bit like trees as well. They're giants and they look like trees. And they move slowly and they think slowly. And they're very, very long-lived, like trees are. And two of the little hobbits, who are about this tall, come into his forest. And Treebeard captures them and says, oh, what have we got here? And he's holding them, one in each hand, because he's like 10 times their size. And they talk, and he thinks they're orcs at first, and he's going to squash them because nasty little orcs. They say, oh, no, we're hobbits. Don't hurt us. We're nice and all this sort of thing. And they have a conversation. Anyway, eventually one of them says to him, please, sir, what are you going to do with us? And he says, do with you? I'm not going to do anything with you, if you mean by that doing something to you, but we might do some things together. And God reminded me of that I can't remember if it was last night or this morning. If we're doing things together, it's not such hard work. You know, if we're doing it with God, like doing things with Treebeard, we might do some things together. And it's all about relationship. In the end, it's all about our relationship with God, really, and his relationship and our relationships with other people and all that sort of thing. But Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. So we're still working, but it's easy because we're doing it with Jesus. Okay. So then the other thing that was going around in my head for a long time was, how do we become righteous? What is it that we need to do and all that sort of thing? And I've always felt a tension in Scripture between works and faith. Because in James it says, faith without works is useless. But then Paul says somewhere else, I can't remember where I'm right now, all my good deeds I consider as filthy rags compared to the amazingness of knowing Jesus. And so you go, okay, well, what are we doing here? Do we need to do anything to be righteous? Or do we just need to believe in Jesus? And there's that little bit of a tension there. In Philippians, Paul writes that he's actually doing a goodbye paragraph. And he says, there's something about the fullness of the fruits of righteousness which comes from Jesus. So righteousness comes from Jesus. And I've always thought that righteousness comes from being good, you know. No, actually, our righteousness comes from Jesus. And faith comes from Jesus as well. Faith comes from God so that no one can boast. It's all a gift. And so again, even in that point, so, and again, I've heard that good works come out of relationship with Jesus. It's because we know we're forgiven, we know we're loved, that we feel full of love, and then we want to express love through good works. So that's all how that works as well. Can you see how I really struggle with structure? I want to hop back and forth. Oh, it's like that, and it's like that. That bit reminds me of this, and this bit reminds me of that. So we might do some things together. And we used to have this thing up here. Our slogan was finding out what God is doing and joining in. And I think that was a bit too vague for some people, so we took it down. But I still want to cling on to that. And maybe just another way of saying it is that we might do some things together. So, in conclusion, there is still a lot of work to do. And it's still hard sometimes because we're in this in-between bit. But there is joy and peace and safety and healing coming, and it's in the process of coming, and we might be part of it. Oh, that's the really good bit, isn't it? That God can use us to bring joy and peace and hope to people. We're going to be doing it together with him. Shall I pray? Okay. Lord, I'm sorry for my scatterbrain. No, I'm not. You gave me a wonderful scatterbrain, and it's lovely. And Lord, thank you that you talk about these things throughout the Bible, from the very beginning to the very end. It's a theme that runs through, is that you want good things for us. And we might do it together. So Lord, for us and for those we encounter this week, or even those we might seek out that we know we really ought to have given a call or a text to, those that you bring to our minds this week, Lord, I pray that you help us to do some things together with you. Amen.
Cool. Not easy, sort of now and not yet. Getting your head around that as an idea sort of thing. So thank you, Rosie. Thank you. Very aware of the fact that we've not had a prayer chair or anything like that. So if anybody feels they do need prayer, after you get a cup of tea, come see me, Rosie, or not Dave, he's got to go rushing off for football. Not him, he's not playing football. Toby's got a match, sort of thing. And be more than happy to pray for you if there's any concerns or anything that you've got going on. We are going to have tea now, okay? And remember what I said about get your tea, but you need to be sat down when you're drinking it, and masks on when you're moving around, so that would be good. Are you cold, Brenda? You look a bit in the draft. Sort of thing. So, yeah, great. Carol's next Sunday. Mince pies, woohoo, yes, hopefully heated if we can get the oven to work, etc. And I'm telling you now, just so that you know, it's a marathon of carols. We've got 7 of them, so you need to be in full voice, okay? Because the 3 of us sat down and we went, what's your favourite carols? And then I made them fit what we're going to do, sort of thing. So, yeah, 7 carols we've got. So come in good voice, well lubricated, lots of water. And, yeah, great. And don't forget to... Whatever I did with that piece of paper for signing up. Oh, it's on the floor. Same whether you're going to be around next week and you've got guests, etc. It doesn't matter if you've said you haven't got guests and you bring people. It's just a vague idea of what's going on and what you think, whether you'll be around on the 2nd. Okay, so thank you very much.